I come from a family of compulsive overeaters. Both of my parents grew up in the Depression era and they were pretty poor. So when they had a little bit of money, it was really put into food because there was so much that they didn't have as kids growing up. So abundance was the name of the game. And just to rewind, I have lost and maintained 70 pounds for 9 years. So my highest known weight was about 240 pounds, and I'm 5'2". So it was, I have the proof here. There you go. Can you see that? Old school. And if you look at the dullness in the eyes, you can see it. I know many people have heard this, that when we're compulsive overeating, there's like a veil over our eyes. And when we stop, the veil is removed and the colors are really bright and vibrant. And that was my experience as well. So my story is, there was a lot of dysfunction in my house as a kid, and I learned that food was comfort. Food was my friend. It didn't talk back. It filled boredom. It filled pain. It filled loneliness. And it became a really strong habit. I grew up in this house with abundance of food, abundance of dysfunction. My parents didn't get along at all, and there was constant fighting. And I had the assignment of taking care of my mother. I didn't apply for the job, but it was bestowed upon me. And so I got to be her sounding board. And I was a good listener, and I tried to make everything right for her, which was an impossibility because I couldn't do that. But I learned to be pretty much a caretaker. And that meant that I didn't really know how to take care of myself because I was giving so much to my mom. So as a child, I was compared to my sister quite a bit. She was a student of high academic achievement, and I was not. When I was about 6 months of age, I had a fractured skull. And in order to keep me quiet and calm, I was fed a bottle. And so I think the valve, the full button, was broken way back at 6 months because, a 6-month-old baby cries a lot. So in order to heal that, I was fed. And we know today that head injuries cause learning disabilities. Well, I don't know if they knew that then, but I didn't learn and achieve as my sister did. And I was compared to her, and that made me feel less than. So it was a very isolating experience in my house and in school. I didn't have friends. I didn't thrive. I didn't enjoy school and it was hard. And so to comfort myself, when I would come home as a latchkey kid, I would binge. I can seriously remember what that was like. My mother was an Avon lady, and she would go out when I was coming home from school. And she would leave me a list of chores that I needed to do on the cabinet. And I was pretty passive aggressive. I wasn't doing that list. I was determined that I wasn't going to do it. So I would, for the first hour, lay on the couch and eat popcorn and, go through the salty, then the sweet, and then the salty again. And then I'd look at the list and I'd hurry up and try to get a few things done before she would come home. And it was never done. And my mom sure did let me know that she was disappointed once again. And that would, it would just spiral. It would just be more food. And then I started to sneak the food or look for it after everybody else went to bed. My mother played Mahjong in the house. And of course, Mahjong night was the best snacks ever. So, I would literally wake up in the middle of the night to see what was left. And that became a habit. And coupled with the low self-esteem around my education and learning and reading, my family had an interesting way to motivate me. They would call me names. I was called dumb, lazy, stupid. You aren't going to amount to anything. And you can well imagine how humiliation really is a big motivator. Not. So, with that low self-esteem, the great difficulty in school, poor grades, the food was my friend. And I would do anything to be alone with it. I remember babysitting and having a binge at the house where I was sitting. So fast forward, really a fast forward. I did go to college, and you won't believe I became a teacher because I thought that I didn't want any of the people to have to suffer the way I did. And time went on, and I became an administrator, a principal of an elementary school. So it wasn't that I wasn't smart, but I was definitely and am learning disabled. So I tried lots of things to lose weight. Right before my bat mitzvah at age 12, I started Weight Watchers. We all went together. You know how that goes. It didn't go well. And then I tried literally, I'm not joking, 20 more times with Weight Watchers. The beginning weight and the ending weight were always the same. It didn't work. I did Fen-Phen. I took shots. Scarsdale diet, Atkins diet, you name it, I tried it. Fen-Phen worked until I stopped taking the medication because it went off the market. And I was so desperate that I found a back alley doctor who seriously was in his late 80s. He said, "You know what? We could perhaps give you that, but we got to take your blood pressure first to make sure that you are okay." So he put the stethoscope in his ears and, no, I take that back. He did not put the stethoscope in his ears. He put the cuff around my arm. And then I thought, oh my God, you really are mental if you're going to take these drugs, because he didn't really check your blood pressure. And then he gave me the pills. And as I'm driving home, I had a small child at home. I'm thinking, oh my God, this is crazy, crazy, crazy. So I took the pills and tossed them in the toilet. And seriously, in a nanosecond, the weight came back. I never wanted to be in this club. I went one time with a friend, and I thought, no, I don't fit here. This is, I just want to lose weight. Is that 10?
Yeah,
Yes.
yes. That's 10.
Okay, it said time up, so I wasn't sure. Okay, so I never wanted to be in this club. I tried it one time and everybody was sharing about problems and I didn't understand how that would help me lose weight. So I stayed away. And then what happened? I got a divorce and I ate a lot and got bigger and bigger. And I took a trip. I went to Israel for 3 weeks. I came back and I gained 15 pounds. So that's 5 pounds each week. And I was absolutely devastated. A friend of mine was having a 65th birthday party, and her sister came over and wanted my help with decorations. So I looked at her and I said, "Wow, you look great. How do you do that?" And she said, "Sober eating." I said, "Oh man, I haven't tried that one. I have no idea what that is." And so she explained it. And I said, "Okay, well, I'll try that. Would you be my sponsor?" And she says, "Well, I'll get you started." And so that's how I got started. And I will fast forward. I have a history of being an isolator and not being extroverted or looking to be friends and have friends. I had a few, and that was plenty. But what I learned so far in recovery is how to take care of myself. Once I put the food down, and I began eating the right amount of food, not like quantities that would be appropriate for several people. And I had these boundaries around my food. I ate 3 meals and 2 snacks at the beginning. Currently, I eat only 3 meals. Snacks for me are very slippery. So I don't snack. I eat 3 healthy meals. And that's the self-care that I learned in program. Putting that food down, eating the right amount, and taking good care of myself afforded me so many gifts. One of the gifts is the willingness to look at my patterns and what's my part. And I have an ex-husband who I had a lot of resentment for, and I wrote pages and pages and pages. But I told my sponsor, I can't give this letter to him. I just can't. So I sat with the letter for almost a year. I got help from fellows who told me a certain page to read in the big book. I don't have that sort of mind that could tell you what page it is, but I could look it up for you if you're interested. And it talked about forgiveness and a prayer. And she said to read that prayer every day. And she helped me to write my own prayer as well to add. And eventually I got the strength. I think my daughter gave me the strength because my daughter was getting married. And in our tradition, the Jewish tradition, the mother and father walk the bride down the aisle. I did not want my daughter to have bad juju that day, so I made an appointment to read my ex-husband the letter that I wrote. And I didn't expect anything. I just expected, I will feel how I feel after this is over. And we can, God willing, go to that ceremony and not feel any animosity. So what happened is we went to Starbucks and we had our coffee and I read him the letter and then I placed it on the table. And he said, "Oh, can I have this letter?" And I said, "Yes, it's yours." And he folded the letter, put it in his pocket, and he said, "You know, I was very immature in our marriage." He said some things that were like this. I did not
Gentle
put you.
reminder, 5 minutes left.
Thank you. I did not put you first, and I was like dumbfounded because I never ever anticipated any ownership of his side of the street. I was just cleaning up mine. And that felt good. It felt really good. It was a surprise, and we were able to go through that ceremony with some grace. I was with some grace. And so at this juncture in my life with recovery, I've learned about what triggers me and how to use the pen and paper and my sponsor to talk about that, and therapy as well. The triggers are things that I want to control mostly. So I've learned not to take things personally. That was really hard. And the silver lining here is when I worked so hard on my fourth step the first time, I got to see those triggers, those patterns, and learn different ways to live in the world. Without the chip, without the monkey on the back, with now boundaries. And not only it started with the boundaries on the food, but then it grew to have boundaries in life, which I didn't have. In that family of origin, everybody was meshed into each other's business, and we were all taking care of each other and not taking care of ourselves. So now I take care of myself. What do I do to strengthen my recovery? I attend meetings. I make outreach calls. I sponsor. I am a sponsee. I sponsor two women, and I attend two meetings a week. What is it like today? 5 years ago, I met a wonderful man, and on November the 9th, we are getting married. I don't think that this would have happened had I not worked on myself. I would have probably found the pattern and just keep repeating it. So this time around, the pattern is broken. In a very, very healthy, mature, evolved way. And I'm excited. I have new friends. I have three different groups of people through wedding showers for me, and I no longer suffer from the low self-esteem. The broken little girl that felt worthless. And it really happened because I had boundaries with my food. And I am, someone asked before if I aspire subscribe to sober eating, and I do. There are many foods that I don't eat. And I have mostly sugar. I don't eat sugar and some of the noshy kind of foods like chips and all of that sort of variety, pizza, popcorn, pretzels, all that is out because I can't eat them like 10 and be happy. So I don't eat them. They are considered for me alcohol. And so I avoid them at all costs. And that's pretty much my story. Oh, thank you for letting me share.